you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, that's an oldie but a goodie. Hallelujah, somebody. Thank you. Thank you. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm happy, glad. But we got to get ready for youth, church. Come on, children. Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases. People just slipping away. But as for me, hey, thank you, Father. Thank you. Yeah. Can we hear another chorus of it? Thank you. Thank you. Praise you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could have been me. Outdoors. But you didn't let it be. Thank you. So many. So many. But God said, not me. Not you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. God is a good God. He works all things well. He does all things well. That song was on my heart all night long, Daddy. All night, Daddy. It was on my heart. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yeah. I thank our pastor for feeling it's not robbery to let untrained people who are just starting out in the ministry to stand behind his sacred desk. I thank you. Oh, thank you. Woo! Many of pastors would not let it be so. But we don't have that kind of prep, pastor. We have a loving, kind, gracious pastor. And I thank you. I thank God for him. I'm not going to keep you long. Oh, I know that's right, Betty. So if you stand on your feet, we'll get right into this. I'm going to be coming from Genesis 16, verse 7. And then I want you to go over to Genesis 21, verse 14. Okay? And it reads on this wise. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She replied, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count. Then the angel of the Lord said, you have received and you have conceived and you will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with all his brothers. So she called the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees. For she said, in this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. That is why she named the spring a well of living, one who sees me. It is located between Kadesh and Bered. Now we go over to 21:14. Early in the morning, Abraham got up, took bread and water skins, put them on Hagar's shoulder, and sent her and the boy away. She left and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skins was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away, for she said, "I can't bear to watch the boy die." So as she sat nearby, she wept loudly. God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from the place where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and support him, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the water skins and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew. He settled in the wilderness and became an archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife from him from the land of Egypt. Pray with me on this wise. God sees and God hears.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, I come before you as humbly as I know how, Father. Father, hide me behind the cross. Let your people see what you need to say to them. These are turbulent times we're going through. Father, we need to know that when we call out to you, you're there. Father, I know you're there. You've been there for me. Now, Father, encourage your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There are times in our lives, beloved, when we have prayed and cried and cried and prayed, and it seems that God does not see us, nor does he hear us. It appears as though he does not see what we're going through. We have crises on every hand. There's tragedies everywhere, Betty, everywhere. Young folk are dying before their expected time. All kinds of diseases and plagues are plaguing our city. Folks without homes, living out on the street. The people we pay to protect us are killing our young men. The cost of living is skyrocketing. More and more people are living out on the streets and they are looking hopeless. These are turbulent times. There's marriages on the rocks. There's children going wayward. There's sicknesses in our bodies. But we are in the house of the Lord. Amen? But how many know that the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust? The good news is we're in the ark of safety, baby. Amen? We're in the ark of safety. I come this morning, beloved, to let you know we serve a God who knows every hair on our heads. Those that are ours and those that we bought. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
The Bible tells me he takes care of the birds and clothes the lilies of the field. So stop worrying and pray. And if you pray, beloved, don't worry. Amen.
Amen.
God sees and God hears. God is only preparing you for the next level in your life. If you're going through something, he's preparing you. It's just a test. Because he's Jehovah Jireh, the all-sufficient one, the all-knowing one, the all-caring one. If you're going through something, just hold on. Tighten your seatbelt and hold on and have faith. Psalms 8 says, "What is humankind that you are mindful of them? You have made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor, and made them rulers over the works of your hand." Beloved, you are God on God's mind, and he has a blessed promise in store for you.
Right.
You may not think so sitting here right now, but he told Jeremiah, "I knew you when you were in your mother's womb." He has a blessed plan for your life.
Oh, yes.
I know that sometimes we have to go through some stuff. And sometimes the stuff we go through, we didn't get there on our own. Some people who we love dearly got us into a mess. But I'm here to tell you to count it all as joy. Because Jesus is on the main line. And you can tell him what you want. Amen? We are filled with heartaches and missteps. But I come to tell you that God knows and God sees. All you have to do is believe and not give up. When I was working for the state for 30-some years, amen. You know what that reminds me? Pastor says some of us on the survey, he would, you know, send us a birthday card and stuff. But we don't put our age, some of us. So I'm sitting at the desk, and he's talking to Marna about it. And I said, well, I was born September 9th. He said, yeah. And what year? I said, that year. You know, they got a default in there, 18-something or whatever. That's what I use. Amen? But when I worked for the state, get it back to the sermon, when I worked for the state, I was always put in situations that didn't adequately compensate me for the work that I did. I think some of you guys know what I'm talking about. We were always asked to do certain assignments, work harder than the person next to us, and we got less pay. Amen? As a matter of fact, one of my supervisors told me, we worked for a little professional unit, and one of my supervisors told me, he said, Diane, you always work at a level that you're not paid. You always work at the level where you're going, not the level that you paid. Now, I found that kind of hard to understand because the people who were at the level I wanted to go where I was working, I had to train them. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. So I was between a rock and a hard place. It's a hard situation when you got children to feed and bills to pay. And you're working and you're doing your very, very best, but your boss is an oppressor. Now, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, God works in obscurity. God works behind the scenes. God, when nobody's looking at you, God's training you and shaping you and pruning you and tuning you. That's what God's doing. So then when I did step up and get the promotion and could handle some stuff, people were like, wow, where did that come from? How did she know how to do that? I said, been there, done that, got a t-shirt. Amen? But how many know that every new level, there's a new devil? So you gotta be fortified. So God trains you at this level to meet that devil at that level. That's what he does. Somebody ought to give the Lord a praise because he knows what to do. He knows just what we need. Amen? He knows just what we need. Now the story is about Hagar. Let me tell you something about Hagar. Hagar was a gift. Hagar was a princess. She's a black Nubian princess. Amen? You may be asking, how did Hagar get with Abraham and Sarah? Well, Abram and Sarah at the time, before God changed their name. Sometimes God has to change your name for. Amen? There was a famine in the land. And Sarai and Abram went down to Egypt to escape the famine, but Sarah was so fine. She was an old bird, but she was a fine bird. Okay? She was so fine that he was afraid that they would kill him for her. So he lied and said it was his sister. Amen? Sure enough, the king took her in his harem. But he couldn't touch her. Could not touch her. So then he called Abram in and said, why have you done this? Why have you given us your wife and said she's your sister? The lie was found out. But then he was so over, the king was so overwhelmed with what was going on, he told them to get out. Get out of Egypt. Take your wife and everything and get out, but you won't go empty-handed. It's right there in the scripture. You'll go with cattle, gold, silver, and handmaidens. And guess who was the handmaiden that was in the gift? It was Sarah. Oh, it was Hagar. So now we come to the story here where we find Hagar is out in the wilderness pregnant. Now, how did that happen? Well, we know how it happened, right? God had promised Abram a son. He was old, and Sarah was old, beyond the fruit-bearing age. And Sarah got a bright idea, sort of like we get sometimes, we want to help God out. We're going to help, yeah, God, you need a little help. We're going to help him out. So what she did, she said, I got a handmaid named Sarah. Now, Hagar, I'm so sorry, Hagar. Now, Hagar was young, and Hagar was fine. Now, I don't know about you sisters, but I wouldn't be giving my husband to no young, pretty, fine thing. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but something must have been wrong with the girl. I don't know about, I'm saved, sanctified, and on my way to heaven, but I'm not giving my husband. God, you just gonna have to work this thing out. Tell the truth. We so holy, tell the truth. I know that's right. And then when she got pregnant, it was showing because it was an honor to bear fruit, to be pregnant. She was married to, and literally, he married her. She was married to the head of the clan. So everybody in the neighborhood gave her honor. You know how we get. You know? She gonna be the next first lady. She pregnant. She gonna have a baby. That lady old. And Hagar starts strutting around. Got the big head. You know, we don't do that here in Shiloh. When you get a little position, when you become president of usher board, you get a little badge on you, or head of the kitchen. We don't do that. We don't strut around and look down on the people who elevated us. Dude, not a Shiloh, but this is what happened. She got puffed up, and Sarah wasn't having it. And so she became very oppressive, and the woman ran away. And that's where we see her in the first pericope. Pregnant in the wilderness, and God is asking her, where are you going? Now, I'm sure she had a lot to tell God. Now, I know if it had been me, I'd say, look, I'm a princess. My daddy is a king. These nomads, these wandering bush people just took me and decided to use me for their own good. Then after they decided to abuse me and use me, then they're going to be mean to me. Oh, I would have had plenty to tell God. But what did God say? Go back. Go back into an oppressive situation. Go back and struggle. Struggle some more. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think I'm right, I ain't trying to go back to nothing. But sometimes, when you know you got children to feed and bills to pay and hospital bills and you gonna do something, amen? And she went back. And 13 years later, 13 years of abuse, 13 years of oppression, 13 years of discrimination she endured. And God wouldn't release her. And you know why? Because there was something that she needed to learn. Amen? Sometimes when we're struggling trying to get out of our mess, we ought to thank God that he brought us into the mess. Because it grows us up. Sometimes it matures us. I'm better today because I was working for the state of New Jersey. Now when somebody look at me and don't want to pay me, I say, hey, ain't nothing but a thing. I go on and do what I need to do. Because I can handle some stuff. And some of us ought to pray that God don't take us out of the mess, but stick with us and get us through the mess. Amen? Look around and say, God, what is it that you want me to see? What is it you want me to know? So I can hurry this thing up. Amen? And then we come over to chapter 21. And it says, God heard the voice of the boy. Most of us think it's a crying baby, but God hears the voice of the boy. The boy is 13 years old. Now, from what I understand, with little Jewish boys and little Hebrew boys, there's something called a bar meaning son and mitzvah meaning commandment. At the age of 13, that boy knows the entire Torah and knows how to pray and knows how to talk to God. And here it said God heard the boy's voice. So what God did, he sent her back because he needed to be in his father's house for a little while. Just with his, he needed to hang out with his father. Some of us need to hang out with our father and learn how to pray and learn how to act and learn how to cry out and learn how to stick and stand and learn how to do what God wants us to do. Somebody in here, I like Abraham. He taught his son. The women bring our children to church. That's another subject. But the man taught his son. This time, he did not send her back. He heard a boy's voice. And she turns around and there's a well. And the well is a wealthy thing in the Bible. It's a thing of prosperity. And so God, what he did was, he not only made her the grandmother of 12 princes with land and territories, but he gave her a well. And not only did he give her a well, if you check the Bible, if you check the record, it says the Hagarites. You'll read about the Hagarites, the land and the territory of the Hagarites, not the Sarahites, but the Hagarites. Amen? Because when God elevates you, he sure enough elevates you. When he brings you into the promised land, you sure enough up in there. And yet nobody say, nobody did it, but God did it. Amen?
Yeah.
God did it. God did it.
Yeah.
This little black woman, not only is peppered through the Bible as Hagarites, we don't teach about that too much. But peppered, we talk about Sarah, but we don't talk about Hagar. But Hagar looked like us. Hagar was one of the first women in the Bible that God spoke to through an angel. Read it, it's right there in the text. She is the matriarch of the Arabs to this day. Amen? She's the matriarch. When God elevates you, you're sure enough elevated. God can take you from a pit to a palace. Yes, he can. He can take you from judgment. Praise the Lord. He can get you where you need to be. God can do it. God can do all things. He can do all things but fail. All we have to do is believe. He can pick you up and he can turn you around. He can place your feet on solid ground. He's a bridge over troubled water, I tell you. I don't know about you, but I don't.
don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Yes, I did. I come to give him glory. I come to give him honor. I come to lift him up. Hallelujah, somebody. You ought to put your hands and put your hands together and give the Lord a praise, because he's worthy. Is he not worthy? Is he not worthy? Even in our bad times, he's worthy. Hallelujah, somebody. Oh, yeah. He's worthy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Praise him. Praise him. Somebody help me. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Come on and sing it with me. Praise him, oh, praise him. Praise him, oh, praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. God is my rock. Yes. Praise him. Praise him. The doors of the church are open. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be. Somebody give him glory.
Of the rising of the sun until the going down of the sand. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Glory, glory, in all things give him glory. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised.
There may be someone here today that have never turned their life over to Christ. Now is the time to come and give your life to Christ. There may be someone else who's been coming time after time after time after time, trying to make up your mind. Now is a good time to come. Is there one? Is there one? If you need prayer, you can step out into the aisles and the ministers and the deacons will pray with you. His name is Jesus. Jesus. And he's worthy. He's worthy to. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, yeah. Praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised.
Get a Lord of praise. Get a Lord of praise. Next time you're going through something, turn around and ask the Lord, what is it you want me to see?
Well,
amen?
Yeah.
Amen.